back on Downtown. Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.
But it's impossible. A man like me, so irresponsible.
I've never heard this version. It's an Elton John song.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Eric.
I had neither. And obviously I chose the wrong Elton John song. I wasn't even thinking Rocket Man, but that's on me, folks. That's just totally on me. So today is other important Spanish grapes. So I was thinking of like the rest of everything or whatever. And I looked up rest under Spotify songs.
Yeah.
And you know, it's Ain't No Rest for the Wicked, KGL, all this, you know, a lot of stuff. And I don't know where that came from, but it all of a sudden I saw I Want Love from Chris Stapleton. It didn't ring incorrectly in my head. I was like, what? And I clicked it, and I was like, this is so good.
Yeah, it's a great version. You ever see the Elton John video?
Well, then there's that. No.
Oh, with Robert Downey Jr.?
No.
Oh, lip syncing the whole thing. It's brilliant.
Oh, God. That probably would bring me to tears.
It would. It's so good.
I am a big fan of his as well. For all the reasons. And not even pre-Iron Man, folks.
Me too.
I was almost disappointed when he took that role. I was like, you know, I loved him for all the heart. Like Chaplin. It's like unbelievable. And also,
Chaplin. And what was the film noir? The takeoff that he did with Val Kilmer. Kiss, Kiss, Bang,
Kiss, Kiss, Bang,
Bang.
Bang. Oh, thank you.
He's so good in that.
So great. And then also his brief turn. I'm going to admit this because I'm a man, and I'm going to with Calista Flockhart in the last season. He was going to save that show. He was.
Yeah.
Listen, I was with my wife then too, guys. I've been emasculated for a long, long time. Although I do maintain that was a pretty good show.
It was a good
show. All right. Oh, my God. Yeah, so there's so many things going on in the world. I feel silly talking about other important Spanish grapes, but that's what we're going to do because that's why I'm here. I'm lucky I'm here, by the way. If you were one of any of the dozen people that I was tailgating on the way over going, come on! I apologize. That's the Jersey in me. No, you saw the Jersey in me, but I'm not going to repeat it on air. So we talked last week about Tempranillo and the Frenchianization of Spain. We talked about Catalonia the week before with Cava and all the things they do there. Now I want to kind of touch on, we'll kind of go back towards Catalonia and all the other places. We're going to kind of talk about all the places today that people really want to, the wines that people want to drink in Maine from Spain in the summer. Because Tempranillo, it can be ponderous. Let's be honest. It's made into larger scale wines. Including wines that are, you know, kind of meant to impress Robert Parker and his ilk. But a lot of Spain is coastal, and even the parts that aren't coastal are much more bleak, and making wines that are a little bit more interesting than simply Tempranillo. Because, of course, we talked about the fact that, you know, it didn't used to be all Tempranillo there. It used to be a bunch of different varietals, and they ripped it out in favor of Tempranillo. Today, we're drinking one of my favorite non-Tempranillo wines probably the most important grape that's not Tempranillo in Spain, which is Garnacha. Garnacha, also known as Grenache in France. When you ask a Frenchman if Grenache is French, they'll say yes. If you ask a Spaniard if let me put it this way. If you ask a Spaniard if Grenache is Spanish, they will call it Garnacha and they'll probably smack you.
Wow.
It's a passionate thing. It's a very passionate thing. And, you know, I mean, Grenache in and of itself, it's a thicker skinned grape. It grows a lot of different places. It can be made very lively and fresh. It can be made very ponderously. Of course, it's, you know, it's the main component in Southern Rhone wines and Chateau Neuf de Pape, Gigondas, things like that. And it goes all the way to through the coast of France and into Catalonia, as we were talking about. The one we're drinking right now is from Priorat. Priorat is outside of Barcelona. If you kind of drove directly west for about an hour and a half, and you can't do that there, of course, because it's like Maine. You can't get there from here. But if you were able to do sort of the crow flying thing, Priorat, and then it's surrounded by a place called Mont-Saint. Actually, these grapes are from Mulsanne. These guys are doing work both in and out. It's kind of like a horseshoe, and Mulsanne is very granitic. And then Priorat is famous for its very, very steep slopes, and they're making wines that are kind of sun-baked, but the best of them are still relatively accessible and wonderful. Whereas Mulsanne, it tends to be, with its granitic soil, a little bit more like Beaujolais, very, very fresh and accessible. This is my friends Pep and Pedro's Cellar Comunica, which is, it's called the Gris Granit, right? So the gray from granite, this is Grenache Gris, right? So Garnacha is not just a red grape, it is also a white grape and a gray grape, mutatable, right? Like all grapes are super mutatable. So this is the if you'll think of, you know, we talk about the Pinot family, right? That maybe is more understandable for people because you've been exposed to it. We have Pinot Noir, we have Pinot Blanc, we have Pinot Gris. Same thing. Grenache, Garnacha, Gris, or Blanc. And see, this is where the French win, even if it's a Spanish grape. All the language of wine is really hardcore French. So even this is Gris Granit. That is French for gray from granite. And it is definitely a Spanish wine made by Spanish people. It's wonderful. It's actually kind of crazy. So this is the 2018. It almost tastes like tea because it's got a little tannic weight. And it's just got that like dried, you know, like orange, cardamom. It's really interesting like that. I like it. I dig it. And it's super cool. Other places that we got to talk about, though, besides Priorat, Mulsanne, let's talk about, so we talked about the Frenchinization. One of the wines that's absolutely amazing in the winter, in the summertime, is Chacoli. Chacoli is made in the Basque Country, so where the French actually came through, where the Pyrenees kind of peter out into the Atlantic Ocean. That's one of the two passes into the Iberian Peninsula. And there they grow grapes, Hondurabi, that are made into this wonderful, bright, sprightly. It's not effervescent, but it's so acidic that it feels tingly. Fresh white called Chacoli. And it is absolutely tremendous. We have one in the store right now that I highly recommend you check out if you're having, you know, any sorts of, shellfish. It's just tremendous. Or, and I always get such weird looks when I say this, but like, if you like have like grilled octopus or things like that, this is the killer wine for it. People here don't do things like that, but I tell you, if you're, you know, if you've been in cultures where they do like octopus and squid and what, I mean, calamari is freaking squid, right? It's really tremendous. Near there, and in, so we're talking about sort of the northwestern corner of Spain, the red regions of Bierzo, Ribera Sacra, these use the Mencia grape, Mencia or Mencia. Medium-bodied, fruity, sometimes spicy, hopefully interesting, sometimes less so. People who are making wines for the American market are starting to get their hands on it and making it kind of ponderous. That's unfortunate. But the best examples of the Mencia grape are really very fresh and just wonderful. So check that out. Near there, on the Galician coast, Galicia. Galicia is, it's got these fjords, right? Just like in Norseland. It's got these appendages that reach out into the ocean. It was cut off from modernization for a variety of reasons. Because frankly, it doesn't have much industry. There was, of course, a lot of political strife that also hurt it. So it just kind of didn't do anything. But then in the mid-90s, it all of a sudden like burst onto the scene as this vibrant white wine scene. The big one from there is, obviously Albariño, the grape Albariño. So in these, finger-like, fjord-like appendages, the fog rolls in and rolls out and creates this very moderated growing. And it also blesses the better vineyards with this sort of briny quality that makes Albariño, it's kind of like a honeyed sort of finish as well. So, it's, it's just like this, again, it's this spectacular accompaniment, totally different than the other wines I'm talking about for shellfish and other, you know, fresh fish that you would find on, I mean, again, this is just on the other side of the Atlantic from us. I mean, it's though the cultures may be different in terms of the food and how we prepare it, because frankly, we just take our fish and slather with a lot of butter and everything else, whereas very often over there it will be a light coating of olive oil, you know, grilled, something like that. But the essence is the same. I mean, the foods are there. Other notable ones, Monastrell, which you find in the southeastern part of Spain in Jumilla and Yecla. Monastrell we know as Mourvèdre in France and Mataro in America. Kind of dark, chocolatey, raspberry in the better iterations, can be made kind of wacky. Also down there you get the grape Bobal, which used to be made into basically mass-produced plonk, but is in today's the hands of, you know, some young dynamic winemakers really making interesting, again, sort of almost heavy Beaujolais-like, if that makes any sense to people, because the aromas are a little bit darker. It's a land of tremendous value, obviously. There's a lot of places that haven't been really tapped into quite yet, but are starting to. I mean, really, it's hard to find value anywhere these days in the wine world because, frankly, especially now, like I was talking about with our wine of the week, which is a Burgundy, there are places in France right now. France is very much like us right now. We kind of hover around 32 degrees all winter. They're much like us. Like they're kind of getting wiped out. And so Spain right now is a place where a lot of people are looking, as they're also looking north to places that previously couldn't even grow. So I think, get the value wines while you can from Spain, because they're not going to last forever. Just to sum up, I do encourage everybody to check out our wine of the week. It is a wonderful Burgundy that I bought pretty deep on because, again, as I noted, there might not be Burgundies aplenty in the next couple vintages. Aside from that, I will next week talk about Portugal, so do join us for that. And I hope you're all well. Get the shot, folks, if you haven't. And cheers.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
I almost called you Sunday. We were working on the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Oh, yes? What was the clue?
The clue was wine prefix.
Wine prefix. What was it?
It was O-E-N-O.
Oh, yeah, like enophile or Ena. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I know. I was thinking viticulture.
Oh, viticulture, yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. That's why I don't do crossword puzzles. I'm not quite as good at them as you'd think for someone who reads quite as much as I do. There it is. I love that this is my playout music now.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Eric.
Cheers. Next week, I'm just going to stop 5 minutes early so I get to hear the whole song. Bye-bye.
Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Every Tuesday on Downtown.